This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. Time for our Vatican assassin, BC, to sneak into Fortune Station on his mission to kill the Light, the cult leader who's brought his people out here. BC has docked the half-destroyed Paladin IV, now missing both its bridge and its captain, Adrian Longju. Rest in peace. He's hoping his clumsy docking maneuvers weren't noticed by anyone. You know, just kind of crashing into the place a few times. Nobody will notice that, right? We'll find out if they were in Chapter 15 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. Before the news, I just want to tell you how cool you are. I try not to get caught up in things like stats, downloads, plays, etc., you know. I've been podcasting almost 15 years, so I've learned to kind of stay aware, but not obsess. But ever so often, I do drill down a little, truth be told. And before starting recording today, I was looking at geographic plays and downloads. And one of the things I love is that you're all over the world. There are lots of listeners in the good old USA, of course, but also a whole bunch in the UK. There are always a bunch of UK downloads. Australia, too. Thank you. Thank you. I saw downloads this week in Brazil, Spain, France, the Czech Republic, Canada, Russia, Ghana, South Africa. Usually see New Zealand, Ireland too. So thank you. Thank you for listening to the podcast everywhere around the world. It's pretty awesome. Of course, I want to thank the 12 too. I was just noticing my patrons, number 12. I have 12 patrons supporting the podcast. If you want to get in on that, you can become a patron by going to glowinthedarkradio.com and clicking on the link to Patreon, or you can just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and sign up there. I have three levels for $2, $5, or $10 a month. You can support the podcast and get extra free stuff. And as I say, I've got a very cool number. I've got a dozen supporters, 12. It's a great number. I mean, there were 12 apostles. Wow. 12 is a cool number. Oh, speaking of 12, that leads me into book news, because I'm going to do something, I hope, cool, certainly free, as part of the 12th annual Smashwords Read an Ebook Week sale. It's going on from March 7th to the 13th. Smashwords has been doing this Read an Ebook Week sale for, as I say, 12 years now, and I've put my books in it every year. And what I'm going to do is make the book you're listening to, Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, the ebook, free at Smashwords for that week. I'm also going to make the Star Seeds of Earth, the ebook, free for that week at Smashwords as part of Read an Ebook Week. And the sale at Smashwords, March 7th through the 13th. There will be a sale, too, on the omnibuses, or the omnibuys, or whatever the plural is. But yeah, I'll give you the chance to get both Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones, the omnibus. Each of those will just be $1.49, 75% off, both omnibuses, or omnibuy. So that's all coming up as part of Smashwords Read an Ebook Week sale, March 7th through the 13th. Oh, hey, I saw a new review for the Starseeds of Earth. for the audiobook on Google Play, so I just wanted to say thank you. I need all the help I can get. I do all of this through word of mouth. I'm a one-man band, so it's all DIY. So if you can, please do go rate and review my books or my audiobooks or this podcast. Whatever you've enjoyed in my stuff, if you could give it a little boost, that would be awesome. And remember, you can get the Star Seeds of Earth audiobook for free at Google Play. That's one of the places that it is available for free for a limited time. Also at Rakuten Kobo, too. That just about does it for book news. Oh, I did want to remind you, you can hear me DJ, do my radio thing every day. I don't know if you were aware of that. That's my day job, is playing music on the radio. And it's my music. I'm making the choices and playing them because it's a very cool radio station called WBKM.org. It's a nonprofit station located here in Burlington, Vermont. And it does play a lot of local music because we have an amazing local scene. I mean, most recent superstar out of the scene was Anais Mitchell with her Hades Town winning Tonys on Broadway. So then there's Fish, you know. Great music scene here. So we play that music on WBKM.org, but a whole bunch of others too. And you can listen right there at WBKM.org or download our iPhone app in the App Store. We also carry Geek Radio Daily every weekday. Just before I'm on, we run it at about 11:30, and then I'm on at noon, Eastern Time. So here's word from Geek Radio Daily. And then we'll get into Chapter 15 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
What the hell is this, the wonderful Billy Flynn?
Just some podcast that's supposed to be geeky. Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Did you try it?
I'm not going to try it. You try it.
Screw that noise. I'm not going to try it. Hey, Flynnstress, let's get Mikey.
Do you mean critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason, who hosts the Beer Power Time Machine podcast?
Yeah.
But he won't listen. He hates everything.
Hi, I'm critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason. I don't often listen to podcasts, but when I do, make mine Geek Radio Daily.
Hey man, that's a different promo.
Between love and madness lies Geek Radio Daily.
That's kinda accurate.
There are some things money can't buy.
GRD is free online.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Geek Radio Daily.
We'll take it.
Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the weight. GeekRadioDaily.com.
Now here's Chapter 15 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC gathers his supplies together. Some food supplements, his hand laser, the station plans, the wrist-worn dart launcher, and the trank darts. He straps on his weaponry and puts everything else into a small belt pack. He heads through the corridors of the Paladin IV for the airlock and Fortune Station. BC takes a minute and figures out the docking controls at the hatch. He manages to get a docking collar in place, linking the ship to the space station, creating an airlock. The airlock pressurizes. BC opens the hatch of the Paladin IV and gets into the airlock, the door to Fortune Station now directly in front of him. He checks a screen built into the docking collar wall for atmospheric information on the other side of the door ahead. If all the electronics still work, he'll be able to tell from here if there's air inside the station. Be nice if there's air to breathe, huh? All the controls look okay. He straps on a breather mask. Hello, Fortune Station. Let's open you up. BC activates the outer door of Fortune Station and steps through into another airlock. doesn't look so old on the inside. Must be renovations done more recently. Still like 40 years ago. Recently. Huh. Everything's relative. He closes the outer door behind him, turns and reads one of the screens in the airlock wall to figure out how to open the inner door. After a few simple commands, the door opens with a gasp. BC lifts up the breather to take his first breath of station air. Yuck. Well, at least there is air. Ooh, smells like tombstones, cemeteries, death, old laundry, gym socks. BC snaps the breather quickly back into place on his face. He steps through the airlock door into the old station and seals the door shut behind him. It's cold. He's in almost total darkness. There is some faint light. Two frost and dust-covered viewports in the same wall as the airlock let in a little light. It's the docking lights from the Paladin IV, shining in from outside the station. BC steps over to the viewports. Hoisting his shirt cuff up over the heel of his hand, he wipes off a viewport, wiping away frost and dust so he can look through to see the ship outside. He manages to clear away enough to see, soaking his shirt cuff with muddy, icy dust in the process. What he sees is not good. The front of the Paladin IV on the upper left side, where Captain Longju and the bridge used to be, is just gone. Looks like someone took a big, burning bite out of it. Poor Mr. Longju, chewed up by the black teeth of the UIN. Not fair at all, really. The whole life and death thing. He was a good, God-fearing Catholic man. Gone in an instant. Doesn't matter who you are or what you do. You can be gone in an instant. Now me? I bring justice into the equation, really. Thanks to me, the evil ones really do feel the wrath of God. Maybe I balance it out. Just a little. Maybe. BC turns away from the window. He sets his hand laser on a broad, unfocused dispersal beam and lights up his surroundings. This part of the station still looks abandoned. He's in a dusty corridor. There's a door just ahead on the right. BC slips quietly through the door into what looks like a common area, with tables and chairs pushed off to one side and stacked on top of each other. There are worn and ripped tapestries on the walls, faded and worn carpet on the floor, a mix of dulled reds and golds and muted purples. There's a control panel on the wall. BC tries it. Nothing happens. Thought we might get some light, at least. No such luck. BC turns off his light. He begins to quiet himself, slow his breathing, so he can listen for the sounds of the station, the hum of its inhabitants, and its machines. I may be able to hear them if I stay quiet, at least get some sense of where they are. Man, it's pitch black dark. Hope my eyes adjust. See if I can see any light leaking in from anywhere. BC waits and listens, and lets his eyes adjust to the darkness. Even as his eyes adjust, he doesn't see much of anything. But he does pick up on the sound of humming equipment, coming from somewhere on the other side of the common area he's in. There is some sound, the hum of machines at work, some sign of life. No real light, though, not here. He gives up and flips his hand laser back on the wide dispersal beam. Guess they aren't using this area yet. Looks like nobody's been in here for years. Well, they aren't fixing up what they aren't using. Makes sense. Plenty of room here. Well, then there's something I don't get. With room to expand, why do they kill off followers? That doesn't make sense. Scapegoats? Rebels among the faithful? Hope they aren't eating each other. Cannibalism would make this really ugly. Hope they're well supplied. I hadn't thought of that as a possible outcome. Taking eating the body of Christ a bit too literally. BC makes his way across the room to where the humming is loudest. The twin metal doors in the wall there are sealed shut. BC puts his ear up to the doors. Definitely where the humming's coming from. They must have gotten as far as the other side of these doors, then stopped and sealed off the rest of this side of the station. They've sealed off this side and beyond for how far, I can't tell. They might be using the area on the other side of these doors. Time to invite myself in. BC adjusts the beam on the hand laser down, focusing it into a knife-length, high-intensity cutting tool. He runs the beam along the seals on the door, burning his way through across the top, left to right, then down the right outside edge, along the bottom of the right door, then up the center to the top. The edges of the door glow white as he cuts, and then cool to orange, then red, and then finally dim and cool down. He uses the handle on the door to pull it toward him. It's still warm as he leans it on him. He lowers it slowly, quietly, to the floor. With the door open, he can hear an alarm echoing in the distance on the other side. Shit. Wonder if that's my welcome. Hope not. But it is. Gotta be. BC inspects the door frame. No sign of booby traps. Let's see. BC finds a seat cushion and throws it through the door. Nothing. BC leans through the hatch and looks around. There's light on this side. Looks like old emergency lighting. Area looks just as deserted as where I came from, but more cluttered. A lot of stuff piled up just in front of me here. Must be a storage area. That damned alarm is still going off. BC checks his weapons, adjusts the beam of the hand laser so it will work as a blaster, and edges through the door. He can't get far. A pile of furniture is in his way. He's at the end of a long, wide corridor that curves down and away from him, blocked by stacks of old beds, storage bins, lockers, and shelves. The corridor extends past the point at which the ceiling seems to meet the floor of the corridor, as it bends with the curve of the station down and out of BC's sight. Betcha there are doors up beyond the curve. This is one of the main corridors for this ring section. BC makes his way through the stacked and stored furniture. More ripped and faded tapestries hang on the walls. Worn and tattered carpet almost covers the floor. The further down the corridor I go, there's less and less dust and more stored furniture. This area has seen people more recently than the common area. The emergency lights alone make it seem more inhabited, more used. But it's still obviously not a main part of their habitation here. All this color and fabric. What a weird place. I guess if you're a sultan, you can decorate the place however you please. Purple, red, gold, blue. Interesting taste. That alarm is still going off. That can't be good. Wonder how long until I get company. BC moves beds, bureaus, shelves, and storage bins, and works his way down the corridor. The density of the storage items gets lighter the further he goes, the going easier. This has to be the main corridor of this donut, this ring of the station. They can't use this donut much if they've loaded this main corridor with old furniture and stuff. What's that? Not a sound, but the absence of a sound. The alarm has stopped. BC stops and ducks behind a stack of empty storage bins and waits. He doesn't have to wait long. Two large bearded men carrying metal pipes appear from down the corridor. One's a redhead, his long hair tied loosely back. The other's olive-skinned with long black hair hanging limply straight down, vaguely Mediterranean. Both wear simple robes and sandals. They look around and approach BC's position. Nice look. What's the style called? Retro Jerusalem Rioter, circa New Testament? This cult must be whacked. Looks like they take this back to the Bible stuff a bit too literally. Sorry, guys. Gonna have to help you meet your maker. BC adjusts his hand laser. He sets the hair trigger. When he squeezes the trigger just slightly, it'll shine a guide beam so he can aim. Tight beam. Hot focus pinpoint. Highly destructive on contact with, say, flesh and bone. I don't think they can see me. Looks like Red is going to pass me first. I'll let him get by. nail his little buddy with the beam, then hit him as he turns around. The redhead turns back to his buddy. They stop.
Are you sure it was in this section?
Yeah, most of the sensors on this side don't work, but something definitely hit the outside and attached. He says there's another one on board to kill him. They definitely use a capital H when they talk about him. Gotta be the light.
Quiet,
Red shushes, then whispers.
If he's anywhere, he's up ahead in the unused area.
I hate the unused area.
Isn't it sealed off? Would that stop a determined killer?
Wouldn't stop me, Red says, chuckling under his breath.
Come on, keep moving, guys.
Let's keep going,
Red says, and he walks past BC's hiding place. BC whips up the hand laser, guide beam on. He pumps the trigger as the beam crosses the second man's left eye. The man's head jerks back. His feet fly out from under him. His hands reach up to grab at his head as he falls flat on his back to the carpet. He hits hard, dead as he hits. Parts of the back of his head, blood, and burnt bits of brain splattering out across the corridor floor behind him. It takes all of about a second. Red swings around as he hears his friend hit the floor. He can't see BC. As Red starts back to his fallen friend, he crosses BC's guide beam. BC pumps the trigger when the beam hits the center of Red's back. The superheated interior of Red's ribcage explodes out in front of him as he falls, seared muscle, bone, and vital tissue spraying the wall, the floor, and the body of the first kill. He lands face down at the feet of his fallen friend.
Messy. Sorry, guys.
BC searches the bodies for some kind of ID, some sort of signifier the cult might use for security. There's nothing on either man, not even a tattoo, at least as far as BC can see. All the men have on them are their robes, sandals, and metal pipes.
How can you have a back-to-basics, back-to-the-Bible, retro cult on a space station anyway?
Seems kind of anachronistic to me. I'll have to find out the secret from this light guy before I kill him. BC makes his way past the men, down the corridor, and to the doors they came through. He ducks cautiously through the doors, hand laser at ready. No one's on the other side. The corridor continues on out of sight, around the curve of the station.
Still looks deserted. Not as much furniture here. They're still not using much on this side of the station for anything but storage. They must live over on the other wheel. There should be another set of doors I can't see yet. Still beyond the curve, a sort of terminus for this corridor, and one of the connecting corridors leading over to the other wheel. There are four of them I could see from the outside and on the plans. Nothing here is very well marked, though. I'm not quite sure where I am. Those two back there must have friends around here somewhere, too. They could be just around the curve, too. And no more furniture means no more cover, unfortunately.
BC edges along the wall of the corridor until another set of doors does appear. Heavier airlock doors at the end of the corridor. There's glass in the airlock doors, a sure sign of the Sultan's wealth back in the early days of station construction.
Luxury.
Guess the Sultan liked to splurge. Shit. There's a silhouette in the window. Another cult member. BC stops and watches.
He's not even looking in here. Hope that means he'll wait. I want to erase some evidence back there.
BC scrambles back the way he came. He gets back to the bodies on the floor of the last corridor.
I want to drag them to an airlock, but all this furniture...
Well, it's not pretty, but I know what I've got to do. BC gets a small storage locker and sets it down next to the bodies. He sets his hand laser on a broad swath slice setting. The laser's heat cauterizes as he uses the hand laser like a blade to cut through each man's torso and limbs.
Like a hot knife through butter, as Mother used to say. Grim imagery, but quick work all the same. Easier to transport. Slice and dice. Neat as you please. God help your humble servant. BC spends 5 minutes cutting up the bodies. After he's done, he starts tossing the pieces into the storage locker. He fills the locker and drags it through the common area back to the airlock where the paladin is docked. He works as quickly as he can, trying not to think about what he's doing, trying not to get blood all over himself. He opens the airlock and piles in the pieces, then goes back with the locker again and gets what's left. It takes still a third trip to get all of the parts finally piled into the airlock. He keeps as quiet as he can as he commits this gruesome task, watching and listening for the men's silhouetted friend, waiting for him to come from down the corridor to see him at his work. But he doesn't appear. BC gets into the airlock with the gore and cycles the lock through. The outer door opens on the Paladin IV's docking collar. BC heaves the parts through into the collar. He sets the emergency explosive bolts on the docking collar. I'll blow the bolts and cast off the Paladin IV. The men's body parts should float away with the ship. Some might cling to the side of the station, caught up in the spin, but most will hopefully float away. Rest in pieces. Oh my god, I can't believe I just thought that. I'm turning into some kind of cheap horror movie freak. I'm just trying to hide evidence. Collateral damage, they used to call it. Right. Self-defense, too. They had pipes, Your Honor. He rechecks the bolts. He goes back into the station through the airlock and closes it behind him. The bolts fire just as the door clicks into place. BC watches out the viewport as the Paladin and what's left of the men float away, then heads back towards the heavier hatches, back through the common room and down the corridor, past the remnants of his two attacker victims, to check on the cult member still keeping watch. As he nears the heavy doors, he sees the cultist looking through the window right at him. Shit. I hope he didn't see me. He had to. BC presses himself up against the right wall next to the doors, just out of the window's line of sight. He waits. There's no sound. He wants to look, but doesn't want the other guy to be staring back, seeing him. BC waits another minute, and then risks a peek. The guy is gone. Gone? Shit, what? Gone for reinforcements? Not a good sign that he's gone. There's noise on the other side of the hatches, the unmistakable sound of a cycling airlock. BC races back along the corridor and ducks into a hiding place. In seconds, he hears voices getting louder. From his hiding place, he can see down the corridor, sees 5 long-haired, bearded men in robes carrying short lengths of metal pipe approaching. Interesting. Weapon of choice here, I guess. Oh, fuck. The cabinet BC's been leaning against collapses forward, falling into the corridor directly in front of the 5. BC falls with it flat onto his face. He looks up just in time to see a length of metal pipe coming down, and then sees nothing else. That was Chapter 15 of Vatican Assassin, the 15th Anniversary Edition, on Glow in the Dark Radio. Ouch. BC getting knocked out by a lead pipe coming swinging down. Not the best way to go to sleep. So when he wakes up, he'll be facing the light. And we'll be hearing from Dave Robison, who does the cameo, the voice cameo, for the light. And Dave is amazing. Wait till you hear him. I love Dave's work on this. You will too. Like I say, wait till you hear him. You can hear him. He's got a professional voice site, butterymanvoice.com. You want to find out more about Dave? And again, we'll hear from him as The Light next week on Glow in the Dark Radio. In book news, again, the 12th annual Smashwords Read an E-Book Week sale is coming up March 7th through the 13th. You'll be able to get the Vatican Assassin 15th Anniversary Edition ebook, the ebook of the book we're listening to right now on this podcast, for free for that week. You'll also be able to get the ebook of Star Seeds of Earth for free that week at Smashwords. Both of the ebook omnibuses will be on sale. The entire Vatican Assassin trilogy and the Adventures of Alibi Jones omnibus book one, omnibus one. Those are both 75% off, so they'll be just $1.49 each. Multi-book sets. And remember, you can get the Star Seeds of Earth audiobook for free right now at a few places, including Google Play and Rakuten Kobo. Just go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com to get more information. And why not? A reminder, you can hear me every weekday at noon Eastern Time on WBKM.org, playing cool music. That does it for this week. Thank you once again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2021 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Acompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.